to the moon. Let me play among the stars. And let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars.
Hey, William Cyberline with you.
In other words,
live from Main Mission Moon.
Hold my hand.
A pass from the Johnson Space Center. And I'm trying to find this story because I want to tell you about this because I can't remember the name of the company that is doing this, but it is some pretty neat stuff. Imagine if you were, here we go. That might be part of it right there. Imagine if you were able to have a company where you go to the moon or some other place or even Mars, and you have all of this stuff being dropped down, let's say, on the moon, and there's payload stuff. You get a crew there, and they pull this thing out that looks like a giant inflatable mattress kind of looking thing.
Okay.
Huge. And they hook it up to an air thing, and they blow it up, and it becomes a lunar habitat.
Huh.
Yeah. So there's a whole bunch of engineers and architects already designing lunar habitats. And one of the big things that they're working with, let's see, I think that's it there. S-O-M.
I guess I want something that is not inflatable so much unless it's inflatable with water. You know, something that solidifies into something solid.
Well, what
I'd be kind of concerned about.
What it does is it's supposed to be able to be compact so you can carry it on a ship.
Uh-huh.
And then you're able to inflate it up, and it actually becomes complete crew quarters. I saw this on CNBC, and there's a company that's testing them, and then it has fabric outside. And I looked at this thing, and I said, what's the deal with the fabric? It has this mesh, kind of like Kevlar, uh-huh. but it's very light, and it protects the habitat from micrometeorites and
got it. Yeah,
cosmic
okay.
rays and everything else. And they showed inside it's got equipment, computers, has a bathroom station, has bunks. I mean, you literally can probably have anywhere between 4 to 5 people live in this thing.
Uh-huh.
And you could turn around and they want to use it on the moon to test it out and everything. And then eventually maybe build something to where it would go to Mars.
I think I like that as a temporary type structure or something. But ideally, what you're really looking for when you're doing something like this, if you can use the materials where you're going.
Yeah.
If they would be able to use moon rocks or, or the dust.
I think they're going to get to that point.
Uh-huh.
But it would be nice, you know, because you want to do more than just go in, putz around for a few hours, few days in a very small space, and then have to come back.
Sure.
And they're also talking about the same type concept being orbital. So, you know, they're talking about that little space station they want to build to kind of have a jumping point back and forth, which I think is an excellent idea, especially if you want to use it as a rescue mission. And they can put these out in space, inflate them up, and use them to orbit and maybe be a temporary place to work from or something like that.
Right. Instead of having an international space station, have our international moon base and then be able to ferry astronauts back and forth between the locations. Sure.
Right. And, of course, now that we're talking about 2024, we are now in the process of Project Artemis, which is the twin sister of Apollo, which is kind of
really?
Neat.
No, I didn't know that was the, that's the name for
it. We flipped it now. Yep, Artemis. That's the project that they're doing that NASA's going to take us to the moon and everything. Now,
and do we know when they're projected to go?
They're thinking 2024.
Oh, that would be so cool.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're doing it now.
I really
the time.
Hope that we do that. Yeah, I'd love to see it.
I think we can because, like I said, you know, back then when Kennedy commissioned it, we didn't know nothing.
Right.
We started off from ground zero, and then the space station, Charlie and I were talking about it. I said, well, look how long it took to do the ISS. Yeah, and we started out with nothing, but we know how to do it now.
Right.
And we can do it faster and cheaper and probably meet the mark.
I hope we can.
And be able to do that. Now,
and we've got so, you know, think about the computers they had back then.
Yeah.
I mean, they were doing math by hand.
Yeah. That whole thing got them back in slide rules.
Sure. Did you watch that movie, Hidden Figures?
Oh, a long time ago.
Oh, my gosh. They're going through and just going through all the details.
Yeah.
And it was just an amazing, it was a wonderful movie.
And the difference now, 50 years later, is you had people that NASA had the plan, they contracted all these people, 400,000 people got that 1 foot on the moon. And it, in some ways, it was privatized too, because you had two different companies building the LEM and the command module. You had people working on the food. You had people working on spacesuits. Whole plethora of people from all over the place. And now we're doing it again, but now we have a whole different group of people that are working. We got Blue Origin's going to be in there. I'm sure Virgin, a couple of others are going to be in there. And then you've also got people that are known as space angels. And you ever hear of angel investors?
Yes.
Angel investors are people that look at a person like Facebook or one of them going, you know what, I got some money lying around. I'm going to invest in your company, and this is how much I want for it. And now these are the same guys. It was a different set of guys. But all they do is they invest in space projects.
Oh, that's neat.
So this inflatable habitat is one of them. And I've got the information on one of the space angels that they interviewed. I'm going to see if I can get them on the phone here.
Oh, yeah.
And talk to them about all of this in the coming weeks, try to set something up. But all of these guys are coming in and investing in these small projects that are look like viable to go to the moon, do stuff for Mars. There's filtration systems. There's the inflatable habitats. There's all sorts of vehicles that are out there that they're trying to get contracts on. So this is a total different game, and what's great about it is now we, as normal human beings, can go along for the ride in the way of investing in some of these companies.
You know, the one thing I haven't heard talked about that goes perfectly in line with what we're getting to the moon, but space elevators.
Yeah.
And that would be having an elevator, you know, something that actually you put up in space, and part of what keeps it up there is the centrifugal force of the platform up the top.
Right.
So the biggest thing you've got to do is you've got to make a material that's light enough to do that. If we were able to have a space elevator and actually move things up there to the platform and then launch from outer space, it would change the way we do stuff.
I think that's where we're going to have to get from Mars.
Mm-hmm.
Or even if we go past that, because you're going to have something that will make it cheap to build in space. And that's the other thing with SpaceX, a lot of these guys using reusable rockets and everything. It's pushing the cost down of how much it costs to do a space travel, you know, and sending rockets up and things like that. And so now it's going to be cheaper than what it was with Apollo, because now you can use these rockets. And I think what they ought to do is SpaceX and all these guys, I think they should bring them into the Artemis program and say, look, under NASA supervision, here's what we want to do. You guys do it with what you've already got existing and just improve on it. And then let NASA go do the SLS. Mm-hmm. Let them handle it, get it to Mars. And some of the stuff that's over here that they're going to do from the lunar side is probably going to move over to the Martian side. And let the private guys handle that with the, you know, hand from NASA.
Right.
And then let them concentrate on the SLS. And I think that will move us faster to Mars.
And, you know, if you need to sell the Space Angels on this stuff or anybody else, just go back. I loved the opening, you know, the intro that we had in there with John F. Kennedy just going through and saying, you know, we don't do these things because they're easy, but we do them because they're hard.
That's right.
And it was
get
really
it on the hard.
And, yeah, hard.
On the hard.
But he goes through all the different things that, you know, have to be invented, the new technologies that must be pursued to do these things. And we have the same thing goals here today. Many of these technologies have already been invented. We've got the computer power to do so much more now, and to pursue these technologies today, you know, pursue this goal of getting to the moon, it should be much easier. Granted, there is still so much that can go wrong. There's so many safety things you got to watch out for. I mean, we still have issues with launching some of our rockets that are going
that's a problem we're going to run into, that we're going to have to quote unquote man up on, because back then they took risks.
Yes,
they knew
they did.
Dangers. Mm-hmm. They knew they might not be coming back, but you had to have that man up kind of thing in order to get it done. It's like, yes, I understand the danger, and yeah, we're going to push the envelope. Yeah, it might be some things ain't quite, you know, by the book.
Yeah.
But we're going to do it anyway. And now you've got this kind of safe space, you know, got warning labels all over the place on a bottle of shampoo, and the snowflake community and all of this. Like, I don't want to get killed.
And it is
so
a risk.
I wonder how this is going to work in this environment.
Of the 50 shuttle missions,
yeah.
I mean, we had two disasters. Two, yeah. You know, two of the, I think, 25 and 50, you know, somewhere around there, we had two that broke up.
Right.
And very tragic, but it goes to show, even with today's more modern technology, you still had issues coming in, coming re-entry.
And both were very complex yeah. spacecraft.
Yeah.
I mean, Apollo was highly complex for the time. And the shuttle wouldn't exactly walk in the park either. I mm-hmm. mean, it had its own little, you know, every time you're like, oh, there's a leak. Oh, we got to scrub the mission, you know, because they had something go wrong or something didn't work. I mean, they're temperamental, but by gosh, they get you there to where you want to go.
Right.
But I liked what Penn said the other day. We're going to have a man and a woman on the lunar surface.
Sure.
And why not? We've got some of the best woman astronaut corps on the planet. If they can fly in shuttles and everything else, I'm sure. Oh, some of them even done EAVs. A little bit different. You're on the moon, but, I mean, you can be trained and go through all of the rigors and everything to be able to do a lunar excursion just like anybody else.
Right. I hope we just stick with, I want humanity on the moon.
Well, I think this time there'll be, it's not going to be all men. It'll be a mixture of men and women.
Don't get me wrong. I want to see, I just think it ought to be, you know, we're label blind and we yeah. just send everybody up there that we want to go up there.
Now, I'll tell you who I'd like to see go to the moon. You remember, oh God, I can't remember her name, but she was on the last Atlantis flight. Magnus, that was it. I think it was Sandy Magnus. She's a hell of a woman. I mean, doctorate, mathematics. I mean, fantastic person. And she was with the last crew that flew on the space shuttle. And I think she flew one other time as well, maybe mm-hmm. even two other times. I would love to see her be picked to go on a lunar walk. I think that would be fantastic.
Well, how old would she be now?
She's about our age.
Okay.
Now, hey, shot John Glenn up on a shuttle. How old?
He was at least in his 70s. I think he's 80s.
Yeah, I mean, Glenn can
he was
land a shuttle and throw up on the tarmac. I think
right.
Sandy can handle it with no problem.
Yeah. Not a problem at all. Yeah.
But, yeah, she's a fantastic background. I think she would be a very good candidate. And I don't know, maybe Eileen Collins might come out of retirement and want to do a command module.
Yeah, I would love to see all of these things take place.
And if
we really just have to get the programs in place yeah. to go back and do this stuff.
And if that doesn't happen because of age, well, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of stuff in those little brain banks that they can be doing in the background.
Mm-hmm.
With the experience and everything they have, yeah, we get it done.
Right. And, you know, we're getting into even the artificial intelligence type stuff that could be applied to this.
Yeah.
And that is to help maybe create new materials, new lighter materials that would, you know, hopefully allow us to get that space elevator working.
Yep,
or
we got robotics that could be mapping the moon and, you know, getting all this stuff. Now we've got a robot. Is the Chinese? I think it was the Chinese that got it on the backside.
Did they?
The little rover that's running around. I'm thinking it's Indian or Chinese. I think it's Chinese. Pretty sure it's Chinese. It's been a long month. But anyway, so much going on. So,
no, you're right, because I remember I'm landing that. But wasn't that a year ago, the thing?
It's been up there a while.
It's been up there
a
while.
About 6 months now. But, yeah, it was the first time that we've landed anything on the back end, and they've got pictures of it and a lot of craters, a lot of boulders.
Yeah,
and mapping it.
It is surprising. I mean, if you don't think about it, you see the moon up there. It looks the same every single time that you're looking at it. But yeah, it's locked in place to where it faces us and does not.
Tidal
lock. Yeah, it's tidal locked and it faces us every time. You don't see the dark side of the moon ever from here.
Now they've flown over it and seen it, but it really hasn't been detailed and mapped as it has on the front side
mm-hmm.
that faces us. So now the Chinese are kind of getting into that. And I'm fine with that, as long as everybody plays nice and you want to share information and stuff.
Right.
I'm happy the Indians, I think, had they had a lunar orbiter that went around. It might have been One of the LROs I know took pictures of the platforms.
Yeah, this might be the start of the second space race.
Yeah.
I mean, trying to get up there.
And if we are going to go to Mars, we're going to need them. I mean, we're all going to have to bury the hatchet. And you know Trump and Bezos don't get along very well. But if we're going to go to the moon, Blue Origin, which Bezos owns, has got some pretty good stuff. They've got a lunar lander that they are working on. And you may just have to say, we could use that lunar lander. Here's a contract. And, you know, despite our political differences, I think that would be very good to be able to use that. But to get to Mars, yeah, it's going to take everybody, every country, everything we got. All right, we're going to take a break, come back with a final thought, listen to McWilliam Cyberline.
Gemini 4, the first spacewalk. Gemini 8, the first space docking. Apollo 11, the first man on the moon. Milestones of NASA manned spaceflight. And aboard all of them, Tang instant breakfast drink, with its delicious natural orange flavor and full day's supply of vitamin C in every glass. Good, nutritious Tang for spacemen and Earth families.
It's the Tang.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
So.
And whatever you do, don't get the crap sugar-free Tang.
Ah.
I think they had that for a while, but it's gone. But anyway.
Got it.
Okay, so I was talking about the whole inflatable space habitat thing. If you go to YouTube and type in CNBC Space, they've got a whole bunch of videos they've done on SpaceX and everything. Sierra Nevada Corporation has this set up, and they also have a website. It's sncorp.com, and this thing is amazing. It's a complete habitat, and they're even saying this thing could be used in low Earth orbit, like a LEO could be around the moon in a low orbit. It could also be used for microgravity experimentation, pharmaceuticals. They've got a whole line of ideas for this, and I'll post the video up on Facebook later on as well. By the way, facebook.com/cyberlinenet. Got a whole bunch of extra goodies for you, including The Moon Above, The Earth Below, great CBS documentary done in 89, very rarely seen. You may have seen it years ago and forgot about it, and if you haven't, well, gosh darn it, it's new to you now, so you'll be able to go with it. So, wow, 50 years, here we are, and in a couple of days, it'll be 50 years since the splashdown. We've got so much to look forward to.
So
I'm pumped.
So, yeah, we do. And I want to throw out a question that I hope, I don't think it'll happen, but I think I would love to hear this question on one of our presidential debate. One of the debates. And that would be, as president, what will you be doing to support and advance space exploration and the space exploration program for our country?
Well, on the Republican side, I know a certain president that if he gets four more years, he'll be supporting it firmly.
Uh-huh.
On the Democratic side, I would say, quote-unquote, snowball's chance in hell.
I would love to hear what they would say in response to it, though.
And
seriously, they, you know,
and
they
nobody
need
will
to,
bring it up.
They need to, yeah, you're right. And that's the sad thing. It's a great program. It does further our society as a whole. And for them not to ask this during, especially on the with all of the 50th anniversary of NASA landing
you know,
on the moon,
this whole
they
deal,
should be asking this.
This whole deal with the AP thing that came out and all is a stupid thing. Because on that side of the fence, think of all of the spinoff technology that we've had from Apollo. And right in our pockets are these phones, you know, the things that they love,
yes,
like the iPhone and all of these little electronic gadgets that they clamp to and their social media and all this stuff. That would not be here if it wasn't for Apollo.
Mm-hmm.
The technology of fiber optic, the technology of the satellite communications, all of the stuff that runs in the background for them to go tick, 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 and throw the little cat memes out and little political memes and AOC to spout her stuff off and everything else. And one of them would give a dollar to NASA. Yeah.
What's sad, I get it that it doesn't fit the narrative that they want to push forward.
I was going to move from that word, but I'll let you say it.
But I'm disappointed that the media, I'll be shocked if it ever gets asked, but I would love to see the media ask this to them, especially during a presidential debate.
Well, I know what Bernie will say.
I'd very much like to hear their responses. They'd probably all say the same, something negative about it, but I am curious.
Some will say something positive, but will never follow up on it. Bernie will definitely say something about it, but tell us it's foolish and we need to spend that money on healthcare for all. And then the others will kind of dance around it, and AOC or whoever else, well, Cory Booker probably will just go, what? Well, I think the first thing out of him would be, will their gays be allowed to be in the space program? Because even it's like, oh, I'm here to, work the
labels.
Cafeteria contract. Well,
yep.
What do you think about gay marriage? Well, probably the same thing there. All right. So 50th anniversary in the books. We will see you back in studio next week. And in the words of the great immortal Orson Welles, we remain, as always, obediently yours. Good night.